Father, we do thank Thee for coming into our hearts. What a miracle of grace that we that were lost, blinded in sin, so far from God, are now the temples of God the Holy Spirit. We pray that You'll minister to our hearts tonight from Your Word, and let us hear Thy voice through the Scriptures of truth. We rejoice in the records, these infallible, inspired accounts of Jesus' mighty acts. And we pray that You will write them on our hearts and bless us tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we're coming to Luke 7 and to this miracle of the healing of the Roman centurion's servant. In our current magazine, there's a report of the ordination of Captain Vicente Alzavar. He is a U.S. chaplain, and he studied in our Geneva Reformed Seminary, and this opportunity came up through the American Council of Christian Churches. They were asked to supply chaplains to the U.S. Army, and Vicente was interested in that, and of course he had to do training. He had to go through all the rigors of preparing for the army. But very soon after his acceptance into the military, because he was a chaplain, he was given the rank of captain. He went off to Afghanistan with a brigade of troops and served there for considerable time, and back again to the U.S., and right now he's in Honduras, where he is working as a chaplain. You can imagine the many opportunities that that brings, and there are times, of course, when men need answers, and they are looking to the Word of God and looking to God's servant to guide them. And I say these things tonight because of this Roman centurion. And the Lord was not against a man being a soldier. Indeed, this man is commended in many ways. He was an outstanding man. And this centurion, well, the outstanding thing that he did for his people was to build a synagogue. So you can imagine that he was a man of means. And to be in the Roman army and to have rank in the Roman army would have given certainly quite a lifestyle. And he was able to underwrite and fund the erection of a synagogue for Jewish worship. And certainly he was a generous man. We also mark here that he was a kind man, because this servant who became sick, we're told in verse 2 that he was dear unto him. Now, in Roman military, servants were very disposable. They were not very valuable. You could easily replace a servant with another. But this servant, who must have endeared himself to this Roman officer, was loved and cared for. And so that when he became sick, he was concerned for him, and he wanted to find a way to help him. Now, the next and perhaps the biggest surprise of all, that this centurion made the Lord marvel. If you read verse 9, it says here, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Now, there's only two times in the gospel accounts where the Lord Jesus marveled at anything. The first account is in Mark 6, where the Lord marveled at the unbelief of the people of Nazareth. He said that a prophet has no honor in his own country, and he did not many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. And the Lord marveled at their unbelief. And so when you come to the Roman centurion, you flip the coin, and this man's faith caused the Lord to marvel. He was pleasantly surprised. But you'll notice what he went on to say in this verse 9. that I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So here is this Roman centurion. He's a military man. He is a Gentile. He befriended the Jews. He was a gracious, merciful, kind man. But the thing that the Lord picks up on is his wonderful faith and his act of faith by believing on the Lord. Now, do you know what I get from this? That if anything that the Lord is looking for from his people, it is our faith. That's the thing that the Lord is really interested in. Now, there are many things that could have made the Lord marvel, but they're not spoken of. The Lord could have marveled at the temple. He could have marveled at the city of Jerusalem. He could have marveled at the scenery from the mountain down into the valleys. But he marveled at a man's faith. And I want us tonight to look at the value of faith to the Lord and how he sees your faith, my faith, as a very precious and valuable thing. Firstly, let's look at the vital place of faith. As we noted, there were many good things about this centurion. Just let's list them again and get these nailed down and get them emphasized. Well, he was kind to his own servant who was near to death. And this was certainly a very commendable thing. Then to the Jewish nation, he was an outstanding man of generosity in providing and building that synagogue. And not just providing a synagogue, but he took an interest in their worship. But none of those things impressed the Lord. None of them made the Lord to marvel for a moment. And there were certainly things about this Roman centurion that were outstanding, that were remarkable. As I say, he was a good man. He had a tremendous gift to rule men. You can imagine this man as a leader. I'm sure Roman soldiers would have been delighted to know that they were assigned under the leadership of this centurion. It would have been a happy affair to serve under him. There's something else that I notice about this man, and that was his humility. A very rare thing for a Roman military officer. And we're told in verse 6 that when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now, I'm sure the same man had no mean home. I don't think he lived in a hovel. With his ability to fund the erection of a synagogue, a place of worship for the Jews, he would most likely have had one of the best homes in the area. Now, being a military man, he may not have been stationed there for all that long. He may have had to rent something. He may have had to have some temporary arrangement for accommodation. But he had a home, and there lay his servant who was sick. And yet, out of his own humility, he said or sent the message to the Lord, you've no need to come to my home because I'm not worthy that you should enter into my roof. And yet none of these things impressed the Lord. None of these things made the Lord to marvel. It was that matter of faith. Now, let's take this to our own lives and our own hearts tonight. You may have many fine qualities. You may have even some of these qualities of the centurion: generosity, kindness, humility. But the one thing that the Lord is looking for from his people is our faith. After all, that's the thing that saves our souls. That is how we are justified, not by works, but by faith. And I don't think tonight I need to preach Romans chapter 4, where you have two outstanding men who are given as examples, Abraham and David, who were both justified by faith. That means just as if they'd never sinned, made right with God. And so no matter what personal character and qualities you have, the one thing the Lord is looking for is your faith, your trust, your receiving the grace, the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And of course, even good men, no matter how good they are, without faith will never have done enough to be saved. And the great question always comes, when have I done enough? If we're not saved by faith alone. And this gives great hope, because the worst of men can be saved. There are many people who could not say, well, I'm like the centurion, and I'm generous, I'm kind, I'm humble. They may be the roughest, toughest sinners in the neighborhood. They may be the most abhorrent and obnoxious characters imaginable. And yet we can preach this gospel to them. It is not your personal qualifications. It is by faith that you are made right with God. And if you put your faith in the finished work, the redeeming work of the Lord, you can be a Christian. And then the Lord can do a work within your life to bring about these other qualities and qualifications. And so we can say that faith is the key that unlocks the grace of God to you. It's not your general generosity. It's not your general humility. It's not your general concern about the sick. But it is your faith that opens up the very grace of God to your soul. Faith is the check that brings to you all the riches of the gospel into your heart. So we learn here the vital place of faith. Now, secondly, we have the vitality of faith. Now, I know I'm a preacher and I like to alliterate and get V's for where I can, and we'll try that tonight, but I think this works, because vitality means the energy, the very thing that makes this work. And you look at the vitality of this man's faith and you follow the events of this account. Well, first of all, the servant got sick. The centurion heard about the Lord Jesus, who had already done many miracles. Now remember, this was Capernaum, and Capernaum was the center of our Lord's ministry for his Galilean ministry. It was his home away from home, away from Nazareth, during those years of Galilean ministry. And Capernaum and the Capernaumites became witnesses of many such miracles. Another who was had a miracle given him was the nobleman whose son was raised to life. And in John 4:50, I want you to notice this, because it's going to come up very important here. John chapter 4. And verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Now, if you're marking your Bible, I want you to underline that the man believed the word. You ask me tonight, what is the vitality of faith? It is the word of the Lord. Now, this centurion, and it would be difficult to prove the order of the miracles of the Lord Jesus in some of these cases, but just let's say that the centurion heard about that miracle of the nobleman's son, and he learned how that nobleman latched onto the Lord's word. Let's see what he did now. Luke 7, verse 7. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word. and my servant shall be healed. And here is the vitality of faith. Here is where what empowers our faith. It's not faith in nothing. It's not faith in thin air. It is faith in the actual word of the Lord. Because there is the authority of that word. And that is the essence of real faith in the Lord Jesus. The Lord said it, I believe it. And if the Lord should command the word, it shall be done. Now that elevates the Lord Jesus to the realm of being God and of being God's Word, the Logos, the Word of the Father. And this centurion's faith was given power and effectiveness because it was in just the spoken word. Say in a word. Now, think of how the world was created. Indeed, I went back to Genesis 1 and reminded myself of this. And it said over and over again that when God created the world in Genesis 1, how did he do it? He just spoke. He spoke each stage of the creation into being. In verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was a creative act by the spoken word of God. And you go down that chapter and you'll count 9 times, and the Lord said. Verse 5, and God called the day night. Verse 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it was so. Verse 9, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass." Again it was done. Verse 14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." That's the creation of the moon and the stars. And it was so. Verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." There's all the sea creatures. And then verse 24, God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind." And again, it was so. Verse 26, "Let us make man in our image." And then down in verse 29, God said. So it is the word of God by which the world was created. Now, when you go to the book of Hebrews, and you'll find that this is emphasized in the realm of faith now. Hebrews 11:3. And this is the chapter of faith. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." The Word of God. And what power there is in God's Word. That's the vitality of our faith. Then go back to Hebrews 1, verse 2 and 3, and you'll see this again. Hebrews chapter 1, 2, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by a Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of this person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." Now, this centurion learned that secret. He learned, and as I say, I could not prove the order of miracles, that it was by the nobleman and how he trusted in the word of the Savior to heal his son or raise his son from the dead. I could not prove the order of events, but it seems to me that the word was out. This man, Jesus, just needs to speak. He doesn't need to do anything. Because there's authority in his word. Now, did the centurion really latch onto that? Did he really grasp the significance of that? Well, let's look at his own example in Luke 7, verse 8. He says to the Lord, "Say in a word, and my servant shall be healed, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And that example that the centurion gave, he said, I have been given authority to command men just at a word. I just say the word. I give the command. Lord, you're God. You're the creator of the world. You just have to say the word, and my servant will be healed. And it was that faith that made the Lord Jesus marvel. It was that example that the centurion gave that made the Lord rejoice in this grasp of the significance of faith and how it works. Now, to us tonight, our faith is in the word that the Lord has spoken. The many promises that we have, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And ye shall find rest for your souls. And so such promises we take at the Lord's word. The Lord spoke it. We claim it by faith. Or for salvation, all they that come to me I will in no wise cast out. And my sheep hear my voice. The Lord speaks, God's sheep, our own people, respond to that very voice of the Lord. Now we need that kind of faith. And we need to take God's book, God's word, that he has spoken and written for us. This is now to us the living, powerful word of God. And we need to put our faith in that word and our trust in the sufficient power of the Lord. Now, when we go to prayer, we should go to prayer with our Bible open. We should be praying for the very things that the Lord has spoken and written and recorded for our learning, and take them to the Lord. And in situations where we don't know what to do, we just say, Lord, now I bring the case to you. Speak the word. Command the blessing. So there's the vitality of faith. It is taking the Lord at his word. Just say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. That brings us to the final part of this, and that is the victorious power of faith. Now, it was victorious before the people. In verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him. And here now is the Lord Jesus advertising this man's faith, and it was a faith that was victorious before the people. Here was this man's witness. Now, this was a very high commendation. This was a very high recommendation. And the Lord was certainly well pleased with this man. It was victorious for the servant, because we learn in verse 10 that he found the servant whole that had been sick. That means he was completely better. And that's typical of Jesus' miracles. There's no one healed just a little bit. No one who said, well, you know, I just might be a tad better today. No. When the Lord healed the blind, they could see. When the Lord healed the lame, they could leap. When the Lord raised the dead, they could go back to life as before. That's just the mark of the way that Jesus worked. And that was just like him. And this servant of the centurion was now made whole, completely better, fit as a fiddle, ready for his work, ready to go back to his duties and be a servant to this centurion. Also, it was victorious, of course, for the Lord. All of these things, of course, were done in public, and this was now adding to the repertoire of the Lord's miracles. And the centurion who sought out the Lord, sent Jewish leaders to go and fetch the Lord. He intercepted him somewhere. He didn't bring him to his house, but he met with him. And if you study Matthew's account in Matthew 8, you will get how they did have a personal interview, the centurion with the Lord. And said, just say the word. Now that was great faith, but it also required a great miracle to correspond with the faith. If the Lord didn't perform the miracle, well, that would have raised many questions. This man claims to be the Son of God. He has been able to heal others, but can he heal this centurion servant? Well, he did. And so this was a victory for the Lord. It was also a victory for the centurion, who was burdened, who had a servant that was ill, and, of course, he was perfectly healed, back to his duty again, and it was victorious. Faith is always rewarded by the Lord. The Lord said on one occasion, according to your faith, be it unto you. And, of course, there's many ways in which the Lord rewards our faith. He can give us a peace about the matter. We can rest our case with the Lord and just say, well, I leave it to you. Or we can pray and get the victory and get the answer. And certainly the centurion won that. But the Lord marveled. And the Lord made this centurion. Here we are tonight talking about him and rejoicing. And so the Lord can take faith, even as a mustard seed, a little genuine faith. And if it's placed in the right way, in the word of the Lord, God can make it a tremendous blessing. And of course, when people are converted, everyone is a miracle. And when we pray for souls to be saved and lives to be changed, it is a new creation. It is the creative, miraculous power of the Lord Himself. The Lord marveled. I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. What's the Lord looking as He scans our hearts tonight? He's looking for faith. And again, I get back to this point. You may have many good qualities, but you must have faith and rest your soul in the gospel of the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord. You must trust Him, placing your whole eternal welfare in the Word, in the hands of the Lord. Have you done that? And the Lord sees that faith, and He rewards it, and He saves you.